Sad to say that the end of my own marriage helped me to get the job. But it did. I hadn't planned on fighting him for anything after I found out about his affair. But once I found out that his mistress was pregnant, I lost my mind. I wanted him to suffer in some way. I wanted him to feel what I felt when he took my dream from me. I had given up so much for him. When we decided to start trying for a family of our own, I stopped working. I gave up who I was and became the wife he wanted me to be. I took care of the house and the groceries, made dinner every night, and made sure I was always available to spend time or have sex with him. I don't necessarily blame him for that. I wanted to be a good wife to him. I wanted to make him happy, to be someone he was proud to have on his arm. I wanted him to know how much I appreciated him, which is why what he did killed me a little bit. I didn't have any money of my own, and I knew I couldn't use a local firm to handle my divorce, since so many of the lawyers in Boston were friends of Tom's. Then I happened upon a newspaper article about someone from my past. Abby Snyder, a divorce attorney in New York City. I was 3 years older than she was, but we had been in the same group home. I looked after her as much as I could before she was adopted at age 11 by a well-off family in New York City. We lost contact after that, but she never forgot me, the same way I never forgot her. The story claimed that she was a writer of wrongs and a voice for the women she fought for. I needed a voice. I needed someone to fight for me, and Abby did. When I contacted her, she remembered me immediately and agreed to help me out. Tom and his family were affluent, but it wasn't until I filed for divorce that I learned exactly how well Tom had done on his own. All I knew was that we were comfortable. We had a nice house in a beautiful neighborhood, we drove latest model cars, and I didn't have to clip coupons. In the end, Tom didn't put up a fight. He gave me a little over $10 million in our divorce settlement without batting an eye. Maybe he felt guilty. But getting that settlement didn't make me feel any better. I would have rather had the life he promised me the day we got married. The sound of the doorbell brings me out of my thoughts. As soon as I see the shadowy figure on the other side of the glass, I roll my eyes skyward and stomp across the highly polished, dark hardwood floors. "Yes?" I ask after I swing the heavy wooden door open.
"I figured you were busy packing, so I brought dinner," Tom said, holding up a brown paper bag between us like a peace offering.
I pull in a deep breath and watch him shift on his feet, looking uncomfortable. It's weird that I don't find him the least bit attractive now. When we got together, I thought he was a good-looking man. He's tall and lean with blonde hair and brown eyes that used to make me melt when he looked at me.
"Shouldn't you be home with your girlfriend and newborn?" I ask, not able to keep the bite out of my tone.
Since his daughter was born 2 months ago, he's been doing things like this more and more. That is, showing up unannounced, asking me to meet for dinner, calling all the time. Which is why I decided not to buy Tom out of the house, but to put it on the market and take the job Abby offered me instead. Living in the same city with him has been hard. I hate seeing him. I hated running into his pregnant girlfriend at the grocery store, where I had to endure her catty looks. I hate that his mom lives across the street and still thinks it's okay to stop by whenever she wants. Don't get me wrong. I love his mom, but seeing her is a reminder of the family I lost. I also really hate that Tom seems to think that he still has some kind of right to my time, that he can call or stop by whenever he feels like it.
"She's out," he says, and there is no ignoring the slight tick in his jaw. "Can I come in?"
"I'm busy, Tom. I have a lot to do before the movers get here in the morning." He looks over my shoulder into the house before looking back to me.
"I can help."
"I don't need any help," I state, blocking his way when he starts to take a step forward.
"Courtney, I..."
His words trail off as he runs his fingers through his hair. I used to find it endearing when he would do that as he tried to get his thoughts together. But now I just find it annoying. Really, I find everything about him annoying. "Tom, just go home," I sigh, shaking my head.